Ever wonder about questions that don't seem to have solid answers? Like, if God is so good, then why is there so much suffering in the world? Or why should we trust the Bible and who wrote it anyway? Maybe you found the answers, but they didn't fully satisfy you. Well, welcome to Straight from the Bible, where you can find real answers from God's Word. Give us a call if something's on your heart. You can call us right now at 472-1111 or in the CNMI at 323-1113. You can also text or WhatsApp your questions to 671-686-9999. And now, Straight from the Bible.
Hi, and welcome to Straight from the Bible. My name is Rose Trina, and in studio today we have Pastor Paulo Tenorio. And my understanding, Pastor Paulo, was that last week, you were here in the studio and you were here with Pastor Ed Anderson and Scott Lasanko, and you guys were talking about mental health.
That's correct. Yes, yes, yes. It was good. We got a little deep in our conversation and got to hear something that he hadn't even shared in his week of prayer that he was doing in Northern. And I told him, man, that was powerful. I can't believe you didn't use it. He expanded a little more later after the show. Wish, you know, he was back with us to do some more, but he had to go back home.
Yeah, I wasn't able to attend all of his seminars.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of his presentations, but for the ones that I was able to attend, I found them really helpful. Not just spiritually, but I think mentally as well, because he talked about cognitive behavioral therapy and how to adjust our thoughts and how our thoughts can influence our mental health. And I thought, oh, this is really important for somebody like me.
Good, good. Yeah. Well, some of the questions are going to be in that direction. So maybe you can shed some light as to what you've learned and what you've experienced as well.
Okay.
But thank you. Thank you, Rose. How about we start with a word of prayer?
Yes.
For everybody. Obviously, if you're driving on the road, don't close your eyes. But if you're joining us, let's communicate with God so
yes.
His presence can be with us. Dear God, thank you so much for your goodness, your mercy towards us, for forgiving our sins, and for giving us every day another chance to surrender to you and let you live in our hearts. Father, as we speak about your word, may your Holy Spirit take over. And just please give us something that we can learn and put into practice with our mental health. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So question number one. Once again, today is, this month is Mental Health Awareness Month. Yes. And Rose, I don't know if you knew, but with the newer generations, I mean, there's a whole bunch of studies showing how much mental health has deteriorated. And especially after what?
COVID.
Especially after COVID. After all, it seems it wasn't such a good idea to have everybody be isolated.
Yeah.
Huh. It seemed great at first. Probably a whole lot of people were like, yes, more time for Netflix.
I think the introverts really were looking forward to just spending time by themselves. But the isolation, I can see, wasn't beneficial.
I believe too much time alone was not a good thing. And the Bible talks about that when it says it is not good for men to be alone. So the first question says, how can I manage overwhelming feelings of fear and hopelessness? Have you ever been there before?
Yes, I've been there before.
And how were you able to manage it? I know I'm putting you right here on the spot. We have not rehearsed this, but that's what I like. You know, sometimes, you know, it's just like if you're listening, you know, it's like a conversation.
I think with overwhelming feelings of fear and hopelessness, I think it helps to remember that all good things come from the Lord, and fear and hopelessness are definitely not good, so they don't come from the Lord.
Hmm.
Whenever I had to overcome feelings of fear and hopelessness, I think the first thing, it wasn't always the first thing I did, but the ultimate and most helpful thing I did was to write out my thoughts in a journal, always in the form of a prayer. So it always started out, "Dear Heavenly Father," and then I would thank him for something and then ask him for his forgiveness. And then after that, I would say, "Lord, this is what I'm battling today." And then I would put it all out there. And then at the end of the prayer, I would say, "Father, I bring this to you, and I know that you are greater than my fears and my hopelessness, and that you're greater than this specific thing that I'm tackling." And it is always a challenge, I think, especially going up against your fears, because if you allow your fear to grow bigger than it really is, then it becomes really hard in the end to tackle it and to move past it, because sometimes there are things that you actually have to get up and do in order to overcome.
Sometimes you just got to do it.
Yeah.
And it's a challenge. It's a challenge in our society today, obviously, to have feelings, overwhelming feelings of fear and hopelessness. You know, when you see everything that is going around the world, when you have social media and you have the news constantly, you're bombarded. Whatever you turn the TV is, boom. And you know how it is when people are trying to sell a story and have people connect. What's a video on YouTube that would catch more the attention of people? A video that says 20 people were kidnapped, or a video that has the title 20 people were kidnapped and beheaded?
The second.
See?
Yeah.
Because people are curious. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, you know... And so then what happens is we start to get overwhelmed by all this stuff. And so news outlets, obviously, they know that they have to put very catchy titles that will make people click, or that will make people go into their, you know, whether it is Fox News or CNN or whatever type of radio you like to listen in the morning for your news, you know. But it's a problem because you're bombarded constantly about news that are not good. These are bad news, you know. And so it happens that you start getting overwhelming feelings, right, of fear and hopelessness. So I want to share with you guys some practical how we can respond to, you know, how can you manage it from the story of Elijah. Some of you guys may be already familiar with this story, but I believe we can get a few examples, a few practical ideas on how we can feel less overwhelmed or manage it, you know, and get rid of fearness and hopelessness. So Elijah, despite being a powerful prophet, the context of the story is that, right, he just did an amazing miracle where fire descended from heaven, and it just proved to everybody, to all the Israelites, that the God from heavens, Jehovah, was the truthful one, the real one, and not Baal, right? And so the consequence was all the 450 prophets of Baal perish, die, and Prophet Elijah comes down from the mountain and is feeling all happy and wonderful because God is king. God is victorious. And finally, the Israelites are going to believe in the true God, right? But that doesn't happen. The story tells us that Jezebel, once she heard, she was extremely upset, and she sends a message to Elijah. You're going to find the same fate of the prophets of Baal. pretty strong words. She was pretty much saying, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
And, if it's the last thing I do, but you're going down, down, down.
Yeah.
And so, this happens, to people. Imagine, this probably has happened to you, Rose. It has happened to me a couple times. Probably you, that you're listening right now. You probably will feel identified. You were experiencing great success. Things were going so well for you. You were just at the top of the mountain. You just arrived and you feel like things couldn't be better. But then an unexpected crisis, right? Spirals everything down into feelings of despair. It could have been, your spouse with cancer. It could be your, closest pet, your dog, your cat that you love so much just dies suddenly. It could have been that your career that you had studied for, you fail and you couldn't finish it. It could be that the job, you thought you were going to get the promotion, but instead of getting a promotion, you got fired. You name it, different scenarios where you were just at the peak, at the top of life.
Mm-hmm.
And then something just came out of the blue and got you into this overwhelming feeling of hopelessness. Well, this is what happened to Elijah, as you see. And to the point that he runs away, deeply discouraged, even praying for death. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3 to 4. It says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. I mean, I don't know about you, Rose, but if you just made fire from heaven, descend, would you be running away?
I think that that's a really funny question, because for things that have been even smaller than that, when I read about Elijah, I'm like, I can understand why he would do something like this. And so to see, I think, even the rest of Elijah's story and to read about it and to see how God has provided, I laugh a little bit, because I think that I can relate to how Elijah responds.
Mm-hmm. To me, in this particular part, I cannot relate, Rose. I really cannot. Because in my head, I'm like, maybe it's because I'm an extrovert or whatever, but I think of Elijah making fire come from heaven. I would be like, the messenger sends me the message, and I'll be like, oh, you tell her this. Tomorrow, fire is going to descend from heaven, and she's going to get burned. She's going down. As a matter of fact, you know what? Let me go with you. We're going to go together, and watch. I'm going to pray another prayer, and you're going to see what's going to happen. I don't know. That would have been my moment to shine, if I may say, and just confront this. But for him, obviously in his conversation, it's like, look, let me read verse 4. While he himself went a day's journey into the desert, he came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and pray that he may die. That he might die, actually. I don't know about you, but does that sound like suicidal thoughts?
That does. It does.
Very depressing, right? You could say he's having a moment of depression.
I think he is. But I think even in this moment of depression, it makes him very relatable to the average person today.
With that part, I 100% agree. He's having these moments of, but this is what I love. When you think about someone like Elijah, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Untouchable. Most holy. Perfection.
Yeah.
But then you realize he's having suicidal thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it makes him so relatable. I mean, think about your favorite pastor, your favorite preacher. And then he gets up on a pulpit and says, yeah, I'm struggling with suicidal thoughts. How would that make you, what would that make you think of your particular favorite pastor? Would you see him as a weak person? As a, you're not worthy to be on the stage anymore? Get down from the pulpit?
I think it would just make me feel like, oh, he's a little more human. Yeah. I think there is a certain expectation of clergy. To know that they struggle with the things that we struggle with, that the average person struggles with, I think would be very welcoming when we see that they not only struggle with it, but they've also overcome.
Exactly. Great points. I mean, and doesn't it help you even more to think that somebody like Elijah,
mm-hmm.
who struggled with his mental health,
yeah.
today is where?
He's in heaven.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
We're going somewhere with this. Actually, look at this verse, because I didn't get to finish it. It says, he came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Could it be, and now I'm going to go back to social media again. What do people tend to do in social media?
A lot of them, well, there are two things. There are people that put up the really good stuff, and then there are people that go up and they vent, and then people that do both.
Oh, yeah. You got it. I had read somewhere that when you become a leader in the church, you shouldn't be allowed to vent. I try not to vent on those platforms, but you know, something that has happened quite a bit with a lot of people is that sadly there is this comparison.
Yeah.
Oh, Rose has this kind of house. Oh, what? Rose just went to Japan and took selfies with, you know, the last samurai. Wow, you know, and this kind of like, where did she get the money? Oh, what's going on? You know, or this, you know, little bug that can start eating you away, which is called envy, comparison. And look what Elijah is saying. And this is pretty much his negative thoughts eating him away.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that he's having issues in his mind with what he's facing. He says, I am no better than my ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you look at his life, he was better than his ancestors. I mean, none of his ancestors went to heaven.
That's true. Except maybe Moses. Moses went.
Well, Moses, yeah, but I wouldn't think he was comparing himself to Moses.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was comparing himself maybe to his pops or grandfather. I don't know. That's what, but probably, I guess that's a good question that we can ask him once we make it to heaven.
Yeah.
Hey, who were you comparing yourself? I mean, when you said your ancestors. But just to think of just like, or maybe even other prophets that were closer to his timeline. I am not better than my ancestors. And then verse 5, then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think this experience shows that even strong individuals have moments of breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
But those moments, Rose, and to you that you're listening, those moments do not define you.
Amen.
They do not define your worth or the outcome of your life. Your lowest moments of despair and overwhelming thoughts do not define who you are.
Amen.
I like this. I don't know if you have a Bible right there, Rose, but if you can look up 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. I'm going to read from mine first on Psalms 34, verse 17 to 18. And it says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit."
Amen.
So if you're having overwhelming thoughts and hopelessness right now, I want to tell you, Jesus is close to the brokenhearted. Take courage. This time shall pass too. If you have 2 Corinthians.
I have it.
Perfect.
2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me."
My power is made perfect in what?
My strength, Jesus' strength is made perfect in weakness.
Boom, right there. That's a gold nugget right there.
Yes.
You know, God is pretty much telling you, oh, that weakness, oh, that depression that you have, oh, that, you know, mental health issue, oh, your anxiety, give it to me. Give me your weakness, and I will make it a strength. In moments of overwhelming fear, God offers his presence and grace to carry you through. Elijah didn't need to fight through despair alone. God provided rest and renewal. And now, I do have question number two.
Yes.
Question number two. Are you ready for it? It says, "What should I do when I feel like I'm alone in my struggles?" Have you ever felt alone?
I think that I am very fortunate in that I have a pretty strong support system. So I have had feelings of being alone, but then in the end it's like, oh no, Rose, you have this person. Rose, you've got this person. You can always talk to this person. And then also there's always prayer. So prayer is just a hotline to God.
Prayer. Yes. I've felt alone.
Yeah.
And I know probably you're listening on the other side, there's been moments where you felt alone. Moments where even the closest people to you just were not there for you. And when you have those struggles of feeling alone, it can be intense. Now, Elijah felt completely isolated in his mission, right? He was believing that he was the only prophet left faithful to God. I don't, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10 and 14. You know, this is Elijah. He says, verse 9, "The word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah?" This is God talking to him, right? What are you doing here? And Elijah replies, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword." And then he says, "I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too." It's interesting. I can so see how his mind is playing against him. You know why? Because he is running for his life. He is running for his life, but then ask, "Can you kill me?" See how his mind is playing tricks with poor Elijah? He runs like a madman nonstop. I forget how many miles it was, but it's a ridiculous amount. I mean, if you're not a marathon runner, even a marathon runner will be left to the dust with the amount that he ran and walked to get away from Jezebel.
He was a strong man.
Yes, this shows you this guy was fit. He's feeling this way like he is all alone. And do you remember the answer? Can you read verse 14?
Verse 14 says, "And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life."
And then he repeated it. And then verse 18.
Verse 18, "Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him."
So God is pretty much letting him know, sorry, Elijah, I'm going to break it down to you.
Yeah.
There's 7,000 more.
Yeah.
That have not. And so maybe in this fight, in this earthly fight, you have felt alone and you feel isolated. Let me tell you, God is the one, through this text right here, through the story of Elijah, is letting you know you are not alone. Whether it is that you're dealing with a chronic illness, you know, and you feel like nobody understands your pain. Man, I felt like that, Rose, when I was dealing with this sports hernia. I literally felt by myself, you know, and that nobody could understand my pain and my struggle. I remember one of the doctors I saw pulled my wife to the side and asked her, "Do you think your husband is maybe crazy? Because all the exams show that he shouldn't be having any pain, but he's saying he has pain. So maybe the pain is coming from his mind." I remember my wife pulled me to the side later and said, "Are you crazy?" And I'm like, "No, this is real pain." It's like, "But the doctor said, what if it's coming from your mind?" It's like, "No. This is real pain." But then even I started to doubt myself. And I felt very alone. I felt like nobody can understand my pain. Well, God, once again, he's here to tell you, you are not alone. Your pain, your frustration. There are other people sharing this experience. And so, anyways, I think it's time for us to take a little break. We'll read two more verses for those that are feeling alone and isolated later on when we come back. But keep on hanging, because we still have a third question.
Today, it's a playground for holidaymakers and jet setters, but in the early 1700s, the Bahamas was the home base of the notorious pirate Blackbeard, a man who struck such fear into the hearts of sailors that some believed him to be the devil. The Bahamas was the perfect place for piracy owing to the archipelago's proximity to Atlantic shipping lanes. Pirates were lawless, which is not what you want to be. The Bible says that sin is the transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. Another Bible writer said that the carnal mind is enmity with God because it isn't subject to the law of God. A Christian life is subject to God's law. Not that a person is saved by the law, but when Jesus enters your life and saves you by grace, he leads you into harmony with God's law. Obedience matters. If not, you're a spiritual pirate, lawless. And that leads nowhere good. I'm John Bradshaw for It Is Written.
Welcome back to the second half of Straight from the Bible. Call right now with your Bible question. In Guam, it's 472-1111. In the Sinai, it's 323-1113. You can email your questions anytime to bible@joyfmradio.net. Submit them online at joyfmradio.net or message us on Facebook at facebook.com/joyfmradio. Join us now for the second half of Straight from the Bible.
Hi, and welcome back to Straight from the Bible. And if you're just tuning in, we have Pastor Paulo Tenorio in studio today. And we're talking about the story of Elijah and how his battle with depression and with his thoughts, how God helped him to recover and how his story can be applied to us today.
Yes, so thank you, Rose. We're having a great insight, dive into the story of Elijah, mm-hmm. right, and his mental health. I did wanted to share, you know, the second question was, what should I do when I feel like I'm alone in my struggles? Mm-hmm. And so this is how Elijah felt. Right. Then God responded, you're not. There's 7,000 others. But then there's two other Bible verses that I would like to share with you. For you, Rose, if you could help me with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25. 10, verse 24 to 25. And I'm going to be reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 10, that says two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. That's why it's so important to have a community, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why I also tell people, like, guys, you gotta come to church.
Yeah.
Like, it's your extended family. And we care for you. Like, when I see people that are missing in my church, right away I'm like, hey, everything okay? Everything all right? Do I need to visit? Like, you need anything? What's going on? Like, and sometimes, you know, it's like, yeah, I didn't go because I just found out that I have cancer. Boom. Yeah, I didn't go because I was in an accident. I was like, what? We'll go visit you. And then boom, your church family is right there singing, you know, at your hospital bed, praying with you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, could you just stay home and listen to a sermon online? Yes, you could, but you're missing such big part of fellowship with others. So if you got Hebrews, go ahead.
Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, in the New King James Version, reads, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching."
Hmm. See the importance of fellowship right there?
Mm-hmm.
When you have a good community surrounding you that will help you.
Yeah.
And it says right there, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Ouch. If you're listening right now, you don't go to church, you're like, "Hey, you know, it's the Bible right there, Hebrews 10, verse 25. It says, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But Pastor, I go to the beach, you know, I go to the mountains, you know, I enjoy nature. Hey, here, meeting together. Do not give up on that habit, where you will be encouraged and people will help you to love and to have good deeds. So Elijah's story right here in summary, for question number two, teaches us that when we reach out or allow God to bring others into our lives, we discover we are not alone.
Amen.
Isolation can distort our reality, but community provides strength. Yes, Rose, tell me.
This brings to mind the memory verse that says, for in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Mm. And I was wondering if that also applies in this case.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. You know, you're facing a challenge. You're facing a problem. Sometimes you need other thoughts, other ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Some may be good and some other ones not so good. You know, like in the case of Job. The story, right?
Oh, yeah, with
he's
all his
going
friends
through
sitting around
such
him.
A hard time. His friends were not really that good. And so, yeah, we spoke about him a little bit last time. But, okay, let's go into question number 3. And this one says, can faith and spiritual practices help improve my mental well-being? What do you think?
I think yes.
I think so too, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And tell us why. Why do you think that?
I don't have the statistics right now, but I've learned before that even just reading the Bible has a positive effect on your mental health. Faith and other practices, I think prayer definitely has a positive effect on your mental health. When you pray, you're praying to an entity, you're praying to a God that is bigger than the problems that you face. And so it really helps to put the problems in perspective, because when you tackle your problems, they always, almost always, seem like they're bigger than you. But when you put them at the feet of the greatest being in the universe, then they all become so small in comparison.
Words of wisdom right there. You know, in the story, right, you can see some of the spiritual practices, right, that helped Elijah to improve, to have some type of restoration. And, of course, I believe it involves several things. He rested, right? This is another thing, Rose. How many people do you know that have made a decision when they were angry, exhausted, and hopeless? I don't know if you've heard the story of that man that was at San Francisco, the bridge.
I've heard of the bridge in China, like at the river where people go to jump.
Oh.
Is that what we're talking about?
Similar. This one is in San Francisco. Oh, the Golden Bridge.
I know the Golden Gate Bridge. Sorry.
the name left my mind. But yes, the Golden bridge right there, people go and jump. And there was one particular guy that was getting ready to jump. And then a police officer came and started speaking to him. Please don't do that. Don't end your life. And he's like, why shouldn't I? And the man started to tell him all his problems and, you know, different things. He felt hopeless and this and that. And the police guy spoke to him for like 3 hours of just conversation as the man is literally like standing on the edge of this bridge, ready to jump into the ocean, which is so high up that, yes, you die.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a few that have survived it, but you're not the same afterwards. And so this man was, you know, after the 3 hours, he goes over, you know, and doesn't jump, but he just listens to the police officer. And he's like, you know what? Okay. And I think 30 years later, there's a picture of both of them right there in the Golden Bridge together.
That's so good.
Yes. And so, you know, the man shares that was a moment where I needed a conversation of that type, because I felt alone. I felt nobody understood. And this man took his time, this police officer, to give me a little bit of hope that things will get better. And of course, He's glad he didn't make a decision, in such an important decision at the worst time of his life.
Yeah.
So I think it is important that we don't make decisions when we are exhausted, when we are feeling hopeless. Right? These things had happened to Elijah. He had not even rested. He had run through the night, the whole day. Yeah, it had been very intense. So anyways, the rest, nourishment. How did nourishment happen for Elijah?
The ravens brought him some food, right?
Yes, but in this particular story of 1 Kings 19, it was the angel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Comes and wakes him up, and he gives him some food. Because that's another thing, he was hungry. Imagine you burnt that many calories of running all day, and then you didn't even eat. So, I don't know about you, Rose. Have you ever done the... I'm going to give a shout out right here to our Adventist clinic, their wellness department, their nutrition. Have you ever done their detox, their advanced detox, and their different programs that they have? Oh, Rose, you're missing out big time. Big time right here. I've done it 3 times already. Tomorrow, actually, I'm going to start my 4th time. And yes, there's one where they give you the meals, and there's another one. Just got to check with your insurance if they cover it all. Mine, thankfully, it covers everything, so I take advantage of it. But I lost like 10 pounds on the first time, and then the third time I lost another 10.
Oh, that's 20 pounds already.
Yes.
Wow, that's a lot.
But then I went to the U.S. on vacation, and yeah, that's why I'm doing it again. But it helps to form a whole lot of habits and also to see what it is that you're eating and to clean up your body. Mm-hmm. But I just got to say, why do I bring this up? Because when you are hungry, you get what?
Hangry.
Mm-hmm. Or like the Snickers, right? What was their advertisement? You're not the same when you're hungry.
Yeah.
You get hangry, right? And I could see it on this man, on poor Elijah. Tired, hungry, threatened, feeling alone. Oh, it's the perfect combination for his mind to play him. And so I'm glad he didn't act on those feelings, on those moments. But it does say, right? If you have your Bible, can you go to 1 Kings chapter 19?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can read verse 5 to 8.
Okay, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 5 to 8 say, "Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, 'Arise and eat.' Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you.' So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God."
Wow. Can you imagine? I mean, what was in that bread right there? Or what is it called? Once again, it used the name. It didn't call it a bread.
I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it just says that it was a cake baked on coals.
A cake baked. I mean, whatever it is, I want that recipe once I make it to heaven. All right. I'm going to be like, "Can you, angel, give it up?" I want some of that, because 40 days of that he kept on going after that. Now, if you can read verse 11 to 13.
Okay. Verse 11 says, "Then he said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord.' And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'"
So I've had a few moments. I truly am thankful that I live here in Guam.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've been all over the world. Since my dad was a pastor, I mean, I was born in Paraguay. Then we moved to Argentina. If you don't know those countries, those are in South America. Hablamos español. We speak Spanish over there.
Mm-hmm.
We also got colonized by the Spaniards, huh? And then I moved to Peru, then to the U.S., then to Korea, then back to the U.S., then Argentina again, then Texas. Michigan, then Texas, and now here, Guam, Micronesia. All over.
That's quite a trip. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but, you know, I gotta tell you, Guam is just beautiful.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I love Texas, and I love the people of Texas. They are super nice, and their economy is just like, I mean, I think it's number 12 in the world if they were a country themselves. But it's ugly. The land is just flat. There is not even a hill. And I mean, there's Austin. Yes. It has some nature, some pretty places, Lake Travis. But anyways, here in Guam, nature is just so beautiful. The green mountains, you know, the little waterfall when it rains a lot, and the beach and the different places. What is it called? Packet Cave too. Mm-hmm. It just, there's a whole lot of places. Cocoa Island, or is it Cocos?
Cocos.
Cocos Island, yes. All these beautiful places. You know, my favorite place here in the island is Lam Lam.
I haven't been to the top of Mount Lam Lam. I have not. Every year our church goes to welcome the new year. So they start before the sun goes up and then they're at the top to see the sun come up.
And you haven't gone.
I have not. I'm scared, to tell you the truth, because I'm not much of a hiker. I'll go on a walk. If you want me to go on a leisurely walk for church, I'll go on a leisurely walk for church out in nature. But to go and climb a mountain is a lot for me.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, my 7-year-old daughter did it with me. So I know, Rose, if she did it, you can do it too.
Okay, I'll go on the next one.
You have to. I know it looks impressive, but you go up in the car, so it already cuts the mountain in like half. So I've done it in 40 minutes. I've done it in 30 minutes. I've done it in 25 minutes of hiking up. But let me tell you, the view up there is just beautiful. And I've had some precious moments with God up there. I've done it by myself.
I believe that.
Just Bible and my prayer journal and just asking God, "God, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? Why did you bring me here to Guam? You know, I'm having these difficulties. Can you guide me? Can you show me?" And it's just, there's something about being in a mountain and being with God. It's not that you're closer, but it's just nature. Nature is the second book, right, that God uses to speak to us. And nature also, I mean, you can see it here with Elijah's story. He went to a mountain,
mm-hmm.
Mount Horeb. And so you see it also with Moses. There's so many cases of Bible characters in a mountain having a moment with God. And so I highly encourage you, if you're listening, oh man, the day you struggle and you're feeling down with your mental health, follow my advice right here. Well, it's not even my advice. It's the Bible advice through the story of Elijah. Go to the mountain and pray. Have a conversation with God and just say, God, what is it? I'm feeling hopeless. I'm not feeling well. Can you guide me? Can you show me? So Rose, what are you going to do this new year?
I'm going to go climb Mount Lamlam.
Yes. And you're going to get to the top and you're going to find a place for you to be by yourself. Okay, because there's a difference when you climb it with people and there's a difference when you do it alone. Okay, so try to find a moment there where you can be alone with God as well.
Okay.
I do want to say this right here. There's some two other Bible verses that I would like to share with you. And once again, we're answering, can faith and spiritual practices help improve my mental well-being? And if you can read from Psalms chapter 46, verse 10.
Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
Be still. Do you think that Elijah maybe up to that point has suffered from burnout?
I think so. Yeah.
Seemed like that he was quite busy, nonstop. Everything is so go, 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 go. And for those that are listening, that you help in church, you're using your talents for Jesus, right? Be careful. Some of you guys are like Marthas. Right? Everything is go, 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 go. You don't get to be at the feet of Jesus like Mary. You have to take moments and follow the advice of this psalm and be still. Elijah had to do this, right, at the mountain, and he had to be still to know and feel the presence of God. Could you read for me Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30.
Okay. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30 say, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
What can you get from that text, Rose, for this topic?
I think it's, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think it's interesting because when I think of a yoke, I always think of work, because you put a yoke on the oxen and then you put the oxen to work. And I've always thought, oh, that must be really heavy. But here it says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God offers us rest. And then when he does give us work, it's easy and light.
Yes, I like it. You know, there are spiritual practices and prayer, rest, reflection, worship, singing, right? These are vital tools for mental health. Do you ever, just turn up the volume when there's one particular praise song as you're driving and you just praise God and you just don't care because nobody's listening except God, right?
Yeah.
And you're singing, I don't know about you, but there's been a few songs, that have preached to me better than a whole series or a whole week of prayer per se.
I can say the same.
Songs that just been such a blessing in my life. and just I'm driving, you know, maybe it, I just can think of a few moments in Texas when I was driving for many long hours. I mean, just here in Guam, it takes 2 hours driving at 35 miles per hour to go around the whole island. Mm-hmm. Well, in Texas, from one side to the other, it's easy 13 hours. And it's just straight. And you're driving like at 80 miles per hour, 75 miles per hour.
That's fast.
So, yes. And you don't even feel it. But, man, certain songs have spoken to me to bring me to my tears. You know, some brought me to repentance. It's just, so yes, whether it is prayer, rest, reflection, worship, these are vital things that you can use to better your spiritual, not just your spiritual life, but your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And I like on this story of Elijah is that you also have to find quiet moments.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, Rose, but we're always rushing for everything, going, you know, all the time, never stopping. And so, you know, in summary, Elijah's story just offers practical and spiritual insights on managing fear and hopelessness and seeking support during times of loneliness. If we use the spiritual practices, right, we can help restore our mental health. And just how we mentioned and we said it last time, is there a problem with a Christian going to a therapist, to a counselor?
I don't think so. No. I think if the counselor also understands where the Christian is coming from and respects the faith as well, I think it's a really good idea to go in to seek help from a trained professional.
Exactly. So yeah, we spoke about it, touch it lightly, and says it's okay to seek help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I break my knee, I'm gonna go to a doctor, you know. And so go find people that will understand how the brain works and why it is that your mind is playing you. Because that's what happened to Elijah right here. But Rose, let's close with a word of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to say something, though, before we... My daughters are listening right now, Micaela and Mila, and I have to give them a shout-out, right, as a good, proud dad, that I love them very much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the story of Elijah. Thank you that you are just so loving, so caring, and you gave us this story so that we could fight and understand that mental health, even the big guys like Elijah, they struggle with it. So help everybody that is listening with their mental health, depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, whatever it is, let them know that you're with them, that you're close to the brokenhearted. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of Straight from the Bible. If you missed out on your question and would like to have it aired next time, you can also email us anytime at bible@joyfmradio.net. Submit them at online@joyfmradio.net or message us on Facebook at facebook.com/joyfmradio. Join us again next time for another edition of Straight from the Bible. Until then, may God bless you as you study His holy word, the Bible.